All right, Psalm 16. Have a look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. That just alone, the pleasures forevermore. You know, God's pleasures are different than worldly pleasures. When we think about things like this, we think about a contrast between a worldly joy and God's, you know, joy, worldly sorrow and godly sorrow, and godly jealousy, worldly jealousy. You know, there are differences between the pleasures or prosperity of this world and the pleasures and the prosperity of God. We have to understand that when we read the Bible. When they come from heaven, it's good. When they come from the world, it's bad. So there's good joy, bad joy. There's good pleasures, bad pleasures. Good prosperity, bad prosperity. And I want to help you tonight, just three things where we can find true, genuine joy. Three places that we can find true, genuine joy. Now, we don't want to look where the world looks to find this, because the world's looking in certain places to find pleasure, joy, peace. And we know, and we can testify that they're not going to find it. And they're not going to find it. As a matter of fact, it's deceitful riches. It's a deceitful pleasure. It doesn't last. It's short-lived. But the joy and the peace and the pleasures and the prosperity that God gives, it's wonderful. It's tremendous. And this is what we want. We want genuine joy. We don't want temporary joy. We don't want joy that's manufactured. Joy that is pretending. Pretends. We don't want joy that is, simply... forceful, not only fabricated, but forceful, you know, put on, like I'm forcing myself to be joyful when I'm not. We don't want joy to be frazzled. In other words, we don't want it to be provisional or circumstantial. It's all over the place. It's up and down. It's like a roller coaster. We want the joy to come from a place that will be long lasting, no matter what our disposition is. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, there are times that we can rejoice and yet still have joy in our heart. There are times that we can be sorrowful and still have joy in our heart. Okay, for example, the Apostle John basically says that there's no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. But what if they don't walk in truth? That doesn't mean, the joy of the Lord is gone? No, he's sorrowful, but there's joy there in seeing people follow after the word of God. You know, we rejoice in those things, okay? But if people don't, or if they fail, if our children fail, or our friends and brethren fail, there's still got to be that joy of the Lord in our hearts, okay? So the Apostle Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. In other words, there are joy that comes from circumstances. When we see someone prosper in the Lord, we rejoice. When we see someone down and out, we're sorrowful. But deep down in our hearts, we have to still have the joy of the Lord so we can keep going. So we can keep going, because the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. And so no matter what takes place in the world, good or bad, there must be a joy in my heart, even if my face doesn't seem joyful. Did you know that my countenance could be sad because something's taking place, but my heart could be rejoicing? And so how's that reconcile? We'll get there in a moment. I mean, how's that happen? Number one, true joy is found in making peace with God. We have to start there. Romans chapter 5. Turn to Romans chapter 5. And if you haven't made peace with God, then you will not have any joy in your life. It would be fabricated, forceful, frazzled. It won't be long-lasting. True, genuine joy is when a person finally makes peace with God. Have a look at Romans 5 and look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and what? Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We were once enemies with God, and because of Christ, now we have peace with God, and that brings joy. Have a look at verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we have been saved by his life. We have been saved by his life. And look at verse 11. And not only so, but we also want joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What's Paul saying? Saying that we now joy in God because of the peace that we've made with God, because of our justification, because of God, we have been declared innocent. And verse 8, because God has demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And also, of course, the atonement, and we have forgiveness of sin. See, the thrust here of our joy is peace with God, and that we have been reconciled to God, our reconciliation. And now because of his blood, Christ, we have been forgiven. And that brings joy. That's one of the key elements to the joy that we have in Christ. And because we have been made peace with God, he has forgiven us because of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That can never be forgotten. If you forget that, you're done. This is the foundational truth of our joy, that we have been made peace with God. We are at peace. We're no longer enemies. We're not fighting against God. Are you fighting against God? Maybe if you are, then maybe you're a backslidden Christian trying to get your own way again. But if you're at peace with God, you're not a friend of the world. You're not, you know, to be at enemy with God. You're actually walking at peace with God because of Christ and because of the forgiveness of sin that we have in him. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13. I want you to see something in Acts chapter 13 and how this is a foundational truth, that we have peace with God because of the atonement. Amen? Because of our sin being forgiven. This is the thrust of one of our foundational elements of joy. We have been forgiven. Man, that's amazing. And that's where the joy comes. I've been forgiven. If you know what you've been forgiven from, if you look back and you see how God, how much has been gracious, have a look at verse 38. Acts chapter 13, look at verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the what? The forgiveness of what? Sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Similar to what Paul is saying to the Romans. Amen. Let's have a look at verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath, the Gentiles, right? They wanted them to come and have these words preached to them the following Sabbath, verse 43. And now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Have a look at verse 44. And the next day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Praise God for that. Look at verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Now look at verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were what? Filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They have Barnabas and Saul kicked out and they're just rejoicing in their salvation. They're not rejoicing at the fact that what's taking place with Paul and Barnabas, but they're rejoicing to have the joy of the Holy Spirit, what's taking place in their heart. And these are Christians that have absolutely appreciated the word of God, the forgiveness of sins. And these people that didn't appreciate it were kicked out. You have Paul and Barnabas going like this, see you later. To some people, well, that's a bit rude. But to them, no. They've actually rejected something that's precious And to their shame, and the Gentiles understood what joy they had in receiving the gospel. And what they wanted to do is to continue to go and preach the forgiveness of sin to people that will receive it. Amen. I wasn't going to be intimidated by these people that were snobby and religious and had their nose up in the air. By the way, Proverbs tells us many things not to justify the wicked at the expense of the righteous. May God help us to just overlook the reactions of the wicked because of the gospel. Was Paul and Barnabas wrong for preaching the gospel of forgiveness of sins? No. But these disciples understood what they had in the Lord, and they probably looked at thee, Jesus, and said, "Yous are crazy. Absolute crazy." The Bible says they were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. And it reminds us when Jesus said to his disciples, don't joy because you have power over demons. Have a look at Luke chapter 10. I want you to see that. Luke chapter 10. I know I quote it very often, but it's a very profound truth. And there's a reason why Jesus said that. Jesus said that to his disciples because, look, at listen, the ministry is not always going to be, exciting in a sense where you're going to see people calm. There's going to be resistance. You're not always going to see things that, you're going to go back and say, look, this happened and that happened. There's going to be a lot of trouble and persecution and trials for the most part. But in this context, we see that the disciples were empowered and Jesus said that he'd empower them. Look at verse 19. Behold, I give you a power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay? Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in where? Heaven. Heaven. You know, we can rejoice, but there's going to be times that we're going to be persecuted unto death for some of us. We're going to lose family. We're going to lose things. We're going to lose, you know, you make decisions in living for Christ and things take place, losses. And that's a reality. And so this is why Jesus helps us to gaze up in heaven and rejoice, because you've been forgiven. You have a home in heaven. What's the worst that can happen to a Christian? Okay. So, you know, the peace that we have in God and the forgiveness, the peace that we have with God and the forgiveness that we have because of Christ. And by the way, and you know it, what's one of the great things that robs us from our joy? Sin and unconfessed sin. Quickly go to Psalm 32. Sin and unconfessed sin. Forgiveness of sin brings joy, right? Praise God. But unconfessed sin, stubbornness, pride, fleshly, appetites, things that we want to indulge in and be simply engaging in and not be willing to forsake them and carrying on in such a way can rob us from the joy. Have a look at verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is what? Forgiven. Blessed is he whose sin is what? Covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. But look at verse 3. But when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Like, it's hard to, it's disgusting to let the sun go down, and you haven't confessed your sin. If you are walking close with God, if you're someone that is walking very close, hand in hand with God, and you have sin in your life and it's unconfessed, then you know the pressure of God's hand upon our lives. Not until you confess it and you forsake it and you admit it. The Holy Spirit of God is the very one that convicts us of that. The Holy Spirit. When we've done wrong, or when God brings something to the forefront of our lives, if you don't get it and you don't confess it, you're going to be miserable. You're not going to have the joy of the Lord. You know, if anything, we don't lose our salvation, but we lose our joy. We lose that fellowship, and losing that fellowship, we're not in the presence of God like we want to be. We lose that peace, if you will. We lose blessings. we miss out on the will of God. There's so many things that we miss out. And the best thing to do is to what? Confess it and forsake it. And you'll have joy again. Thank God for that. Amen? That peace with God. We're at peace with God because of Christ. Okay, but if we have unconfessed sin, there's that, you know, fight that's going to go on again, and we lose our joy because of it. Number two, we not only have joy because we've made peace with God, but we have joy because we know the peace of God. Go to Philippians chapter 4. There is joy in knowing the peace of God. There is joy in knowing the peace of God. And look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by what? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry. Don't fret. Come to God. Call on Him. Cry out to Him. Be thankful. Be content. Make your request made known to God. And what will happen? What will happen? And the peace, and the what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, learning the art of casting your cares upon Him and not carrying your burdens, have the peace of God in your life, and that brings joy. But the more you carry your burdens, the more you're weighed down and depressed. But when you learn the art, when something takes place and you cast those burdens upon Him, and you learn to go to God in prayer and cry out to Him with thanksgiving, then the peace of God that passeth all understanding, goes far beyond human comprehension and far beyond human understanding. It cannot be described, only experienced when you come to God by praying in faith and praising God. There's a peace that overflows, the peace of God in your heart through Jesus Christ, and there's joy right there in the midst of my trouble. But you have to learn the art of casting. You know what we do? We carry our burdens. We talk sometimes to the wrong people. You know, we spoke about this last week. You say, what kind of burdens do we carry? Anything that causes you distress and murmuring and complaining is a burden. Any complaint, take it to God. But what do we do most of the time? Carry it by how? By talking. And where's the joy? Zip, gone. And then all of a sudden, it's manufactured. All of a sudden, it's fabricated. It's put on. No. You know, if anything zaps the joy, is when we murmur and complain and we don't go to God in prayer and thanksgiving so the peace of God can rule my heart. And there you find joy. Amen. There. I've failed many times by talking about things that just don't, what's it going to do? It's not going to help. So if anything, I bring myself lower and lower and lower and lower in despair. And the worst thing is when you cast it and then you pick it up again and you carry it and you go forward with it. Why did you cast? You got to go back and give it to the Lord. Well, you better go back and say sorry. And say sorry. Say sorry, Lord, I picked it up again. I thought I left it there. Why did it come back and haunt me again? Why am I talking about it again? Why is it ruling my heart again instead of your peace? I thought you're going to take care of it. That's what happens. And we wonder why we don't have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Because we're carrying our burdens instead of casting them to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that we can't talk about some things and talk to our friends and, loved ones and wives about issues and different things like that. But, brethren, you understand there's a line that we cross. And when we cross it, that's when the joy goes zoop. And you know when you've crossed it. You know when you've crossed it. All of a sudden there's a sadness, and don't try to justify the sadness by fabricating joy or putting it on and being frazzled. You got to go back and say, God, we failed. We crossed the line here and I'm sorry. I should learn to talk to you more about these things. There's nothing wrong with talking to people about some things, especially when you're perplexed and you don't know what to do. But you know when you cross that line. You know when you've gone too far. You know, there's certain things in our life that take place that cause us, you know, to have our heart fail and rob us from that joy. If anything, in the days of Daniel, can you imagine he couldn't talk to God for a whole month when he found out the new law was coming into place? And you can't talk to your God, if you know, you can't worship your God for the whole month. What did Daniel do? No, you know the Bible says he went and he went toward the window and he prayed and he thanked God like he did aforetime. And you know what happened? He went in the lion's den with the peace of God. He had the peace of God in his room, but the peace of God followed him all the ways to the lion's den while the king, you read it, was in his palace, was fasting, couldn't eat and couldn't sleep. If so, who was troubled? The king. Who had peace? Daniel. Why? Because he was in his place praying and praising God. That's where the joy comes. No matter what your problem is. I mean, come on. Think about that. Lion's den? I mean, the lions? I mean, won't that trouble you? Won't that just kind of zap your joy? Oh, we want to get there in a moment. Not when you have the peace of God. Not when you know you're in the will of God. And this is what I want to talk to you about next and soon to come. But I want to remind you that this world has nothing on God regarding peace. Nothing. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, the world's peace is based upon circumstances. And the peace of God is based upon Christ. Man can comfort you by positive, you know, gestures and do this and buy yourself some new clothes. You don't have to wear them, but buy you, makes you feel better. Just do that. Just spoil yourself some, you know. Or they'll try to encourage you to, you can do it, or go to yoga and meditate. You're the greatest. And think, you know, that's false peace. That's bad peace. And that's not going to do anything for us. Warren Reasby said, "People in the world walk by sight and depend on externals, but Christians walk by faith and depend on eternals." And it says, "He shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That word keep is like a military terms, like guard and protect against. And God will guard our hearts through Jesus Christ when we pray, when we cast our cares, when we thank Him. And God is able to guard us and guard our troubled mind no matter what comes our way. And that's what happened, I believe, to Daniel. Isaiah says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting," what? Strength. And lastly, there is joy. Not only having peace with God, not having only the peace of God, but listen, having the God of peace. Now that's something else. I mean, having peace with God is absolutely wonderful, and having the peace of God is great, but having the very God of peace is tremendous. Have a look at verse 9 in Philippians 4. He says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be," what? "With you." You know, having the God of peace is to be in the presence of God. And to be in the presence of God is to be in the will of God. And to be in the will of God is to obey God. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, the safest place to be is where God wants you to be, is in His will, and is to be in His will is to be in His presence. And to be in His presence is to have an obedient heart, to be submissive to what God has called you to do. I'll tell you, have a look at Acts chapter 20. Look at the mind of Paul the Apostle here. Acts chapter 20. Look at the mind of Paul the Apostle. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 22. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me." Oh, so Paul knew that if he was going to go to Jerusalem, there were certain things that were going to take place. Bonds and affliction, he says, will take place. Perhaps his life will be taken. But look what he says in verse 24, but none of these things move me. None of them move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with what? Joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You see that? How did Paul the Apostle have this mindset? I mean, how could that be his joy finishing? Because that was the will of God for him. And to fulfill the will of God is to be in the presence of God and to be obedient to the will of God. It goes hand in hand, and that's the joy of God no matter what happens. No matter what takes place. Knowing that I am where God wants me to be is grand, beautiful, awesome, wonderful. Nothing compares than to be where God wants you to be. I mean, I think the worst thing and the worst place to be for a Christian is him doing his own thing. And you know what? Being deceived. So I am here and this is God's will, but it's not. You know, that's the worst thing that can ever take place. And sometimes God's will doesn't make any sense. We know that by looking at Scripture, Genesis, all the way to Revelation. We know that God's will at times doesn't make any sense. But we know that this is God's will, so we do it. And there is found God, the God of peace, leading the great shepherd, going before us. And you're knowing very firmly and very clearly, this is where I'm supposed to be. And that's what thrills your soul. That's what thrills your soul. There's nothing else that thrills your soul but to know you're walking with God step by step. You're not only peace, you have peace with God and the peace of God is with you, but you have the very God of peace. It's just very simple. God wants to lead us along. The very God of peace. And the moment you let go is the moment you fall into despair, going back, backsliding, doing your own thing. You know there's nothing there. You know it's empty. You've tried it before. Doing your own thing doesn't work. Going your own way doesn't work. It doesn't. There's no joy in that place. I said there's no joy in that place. There's no joy at all. Remember what Jesus said regarding the talents. The one that was faithful with the talents. My good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And look, this is the mindset of Christ. There's no doubt about that. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. And the mind of Paul was the mind of Christ. How does it make sense that there's joy in suffering? How does it make sense that there's joy in persecution? That doesn't make sense. What makes sense is this. You're where God wants you to be. You're in the will of God. Have a look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, what? For the joy that was set before him, what? Yeah, the cross? Was that joyful? No. I mean, come on. We have to be real here. Going to Jerusalem and getting beaten or put in prison is not something that is appetizing and you find joy in. Let's not fool ourselves. Going to the cross and being crucified or whipped and scourged and have your beard plucked out and being naked, half naked on the cross, dressed in his blood wasn't really the joy. What was the joy set before him? Fulfilling the will of the Father. That's joy. That's joy. Doing what God wants you to do. That's joy. You won't find it anywhere else. Nowhere else you can go and try. You won't find it. When you do the will of God and you're where God wants you to be, that's joy. I might lose my job. That's joy. I might lose my life. That's joy. Why? Because it's in God's will. You're where God wants you to be because God's there. You mean God's in the fire? Of course he was. Through the fire, through the flood, through the storm, we sing it. But are we ever going to go through it? Because that's joy. Because God's there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God was there. God was right there. And they weren't willing to bow down to the culture. They weren't willing to bow down to the system. They weren't willing. Why? Because that's not joy. You're not going to find joy bowing down to anything that opposes God. That's not joy. Joy is walking with God. And when you walk with God, there's resistance. When you walk with God, there's trials. When we walk with God, there's persecution. Yeah, You look in your Bible, you'll find it. When you walk with God, there's trouble. But guess what? There's the God of peace and there's joy right there. Because I am where God wants me to be. There's no greater joy. If you go to James chapter 4, I want you to see something very clearly there. James chapter 4, and look at verse 9. The audience of James were joyful. Did you know that? But they were out of God's will. How can you be joyful and out of God's will? How's that happen? They had some sort of joy, right? Have a look at verse 9. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter turn into mourning. Let your joy turn into heaviness. Apparently, they were friends of the world, and to be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What else were they doing? Well, I guess they were living outside of the will of God. Look at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we should go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. The worst thing to do is to plan outside of God's will, and you can try it and you might as well get it. You can. Did you know? You can do what you want to do in this life and you can prosper, but it's not like God's prosperity. It's nothing like it. 16. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is what? Evil. Just because, you know, I thank God for the things that happen, and you know they're from the hand of God. But there are some things that we do that God is not in it. But there's still joy and excitement and that, but God is not in it. And so what do I need to do? I need to find out, is this God or is this me? Because I don't want to be deceived. I need God in this. Yeah, I know everything's going well. And sometimes when you're in the will of God, everything goes bad, but it's not bad, it's good. Why? Because it's a paradox. We can't understand it, but that's God's will. And we take it patiently, and there we find joy. How's that work? Well, it's just the Christian life. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 14. 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that is what? Myrrh in heaviness. It's put on. Even in laughter, it's just put on. It's put on, fabricated. Look at the next four. Look at verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The worst thing is when someone is out of God's will and they're trying to convince themselves that they're in God's will. That's the worst thing that could ever take place. And in your heart, you're absolutely backsliding. I've seen it just recently. Someone backsliding and yet they're praying to God. And they've told me, this is what's happening. I'm not walking with the Lord like I should. I don't have power. And they're willing to pray to God. I'm thinking, what are you praying to God for? You should be praying that God will give you victory over this filthiness. This is where you need to be praying. You need to be praying that you'll be at peace with God, because you don't have the God of peace right now. You need to be peace at Him. How do you confess and forsake and you have the peace of God? Yeah. Amen. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, we don't have to turn there, chapter 7, verse 6, for as the crackling of the thorn under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This is also vanity. Yep. The thorn crackling, burning under the pot. You know, it burns so quickly, those thorns, those branches, it burns so quickly. Doesn't laugh. Just for a moment. It's vanity. Yeah, that's what they do when they watch, you know, YouTube pranks, this, that. They indulge in entertainment and all. It doesn't last long, folks. All that entertainment of the world, you watch it, you know, it doesn't do anything for you. And then it's gone. But the joy of the Lord is forever. It's in your heart no matter what takes place, no matter what you face. Psalm 32. Have a look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Look at verse 11. Be glad. Oh, we can go back verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are what? Upright in heart. To be in the will of God, to be in the presence of God, is to have the God of peace. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 6. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in what? Heaviness through manifold temptations. That's the reality of the Christian life. You may be facing trials, testings, temptations, trouble. There's sorrow, perhaps grief, but there's still the joy of the Lord taking place in your heart. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing. Look at this, at the appearing. So I believe the Psalm 16 verse 11 is indicating to us, in the presence of the Lord there is joy forevermore. Amen. The fullness of joy. Look at verse 8. Who have not seen ye love, in whom ye are now seen, in him yet believing, ye rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Can I just say this to you? If you're in the will of God and he comes and you stand unashamed at his coming, you know there's going to be a joy in your heart that you can't even describe. It's unspeakable. Words cannot utter, but you know that you finished your course and you are in the will of God. You're there at his coming, unashamed, standing, and brothers and sisters, what a joy! What a joy to be found in his presence, finishing everything God willed for you. There's no greater joy. There's no greater joy. I will be absolutely devastated. Devastated if I finished in a way that I didn't please my father as a good soldier. Came all the way here and I dropped the ball. Oh, well, but God used you all here. Doesn't that count for something? Well, I didn't allow God to finish what he started. He who begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. May God help every one of us allow the Lord to continue what he started in our lives by submitting to his will, by doing what he's called us to do. Not only being at peace with God and having the peace of God, but following the God of peace. All the way to the end. All the way. And if you're going to do that, my friend, we're going to enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. You know what's happening in our Christendom today? The average Christian wants to run away from persecution. None of us will ever dare to say, come, truck, hit me. We don't do that. But if the truck hit us and it was according to the will of God, then what's the problem? But you know what? The Christians are not even daring to cross the road just in case a truck will hit them. They rather stay and do nothing to preserve life. There's no joy in that. Joy is being in the center of God's will no matter what takes place in our life. Have a look at Romans 14 verse 7. Romans 14 verse 7. I'm telling you now, what's taking place in our midst today is shocking, brethren. Shocking. You know, there are people that are allowed to meet and they're not meeting. They have a building that can fit 60 and they don't want to meet. And did you know there are people that are meeting and they're not singing? But they're allowed to sing. But they're saying they're being cautious. I spoke to one of the people and said, why aren't you meeting where you can have 60 and you don't have, I don't believe you have 60 in your congregation. They said there was a Christian doctor in our congregation said that it's safer not to meet. It's safer not to meet. Now you try to work that out after reading Romans 14 verse 17. Have a look what he says here. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the what? In the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Have a look at chapter 15 verse 13. Now the God of the hope, the God of hope fill you with what? All joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You want the joy of the Lord? Genuine joy? You've got to make peace with God. You want genuine joy? Not fabricated, not put on. Not after a success, so we joy and no, no, no. Joy, good times, bad times, because you're in the will of God and you know it. You have the peace of God, but you also have the God of peace going before you. And you just hold his hand and you say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to follow, follow. Oh, we sing it. We sing it. But may God help us not to be a statistic when the going gets tough. And brethren, I say this to you is because it's going to get tough. It's not going to get any better. From this year to next year and the one coming, the Lord Jesus said it and it's going to happen. We're not going backwards in persecution. We're going forward. It's coming. And our generation, I believe, will see it. We've had a little bit of it compared to what's taking place. Can you imagine you're a Christian and living in Melbourne? What will you do? What will you do? Daniel Andrews has nothing on the Antichrist. How will you live? How will you live? Let that be the test of our faith. What will we do if that ever happened here? Man, I was pondering upon that. How would I live over there in Melbourne? How would I live? What would I do? Man, what a challenge. Okay. How would God want you to live? That's joy. Right there. Well, no one's understanding it. They don't have to understand. A lot of people won't understand. They won't. As a matter of fact, when you're doing the will of God, you're going to be highly misunderstood. As long as you're in the will of God. That's what matters, because that's where the joy is. And that's when you finish your course with joy. I don't want to be a Christian that just preaches and da ba 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 talking about the Bible. One day we're going to go through it and we have to live it. And that's where the joy is. May God help every one of us have a prepared heart in the light. You know, it's not doom and gloom, brethren. It's wonderful, because when it's taking place, guess who's coming? Guess who's near? And guess what? Joy unspeakable. Because that's what matters right at the end. I mean, how can you have this joy locked up in prison, eating, you know, scraps, asking for your parchments, for your cloak, because it's cold, Paul the Apostle, and yet still have this joy fill his heart? I mean, how's a man in prison not complaining about his food, telling you and I to be content and rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, in the circumstances that he is, filled with the Spirit of God. That's filled with the Spirit of God. May God help every one of us by his grace. Not only be at peace, we're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we come and we know the peace of God, but have to have the God of peace no matter where you go. That just tops it off. Doesn't it? Doesn't that just top it off? Doesn't it just, man, it's wonderful. Let's pray.